The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're back. Greg Hill is not here. I think he's in like Costa Rica, isn't he?
I don't think he's there yet. Or maybe he is.
Yeah, he's there. Yeah. I saw his Instagram.
Yes.
I'm on the IG. We were looking up banjo IG accounts. That's what we were doing yesterday. Not a lot of good banjo IG. I typed in sexiest banjo Instagram account. Yeah,
and on a work computer?
Yeah, I was fired immediately. But no worries, because there were none. I think Greg Hill is in Costa Rica. A year ago, I was on a cruise. It was so good. It was so good.
I've never been on a cruise. They freak me out.
Razor, have you been on a cruise?
No, and I'm happily never going to go on one.
Really? Yeah, you know what? I don't like boats.
There was a time last spring when I got norovirus, and I feel like that's as close to a cruise as I want to go.
You guys are making this seem awful. It was awesome.
It sounds awful to me.
I was ziplining over in a Honduras jungle when they traded for Chris Sale. It was great.
Yeah, but you could do that without getting on a cruise ship. You could just go to Honduras and do all those cool, amazing things with
a
car.
The great thing is, I don't want to drive to Honduras. And number two is that you just go on the cruise, you truck along, you eat and drink your face off, and then you wake up, and then you go ziplining over Honduras. You come back, you eat and drink your face off again, and then you go somewhere else. You know, it's great.
Aren't the rooms quite small?
Not mine.
Okay.
Mine had a hammock.
That on a cruise boat, like it's like you get stuck in these little rooms, and then everybody, all the food is questionable. I don't know if we have any cruise sponsors, so I'm going
to
shut up.
Wow, a lot of cliches when it came to cruise. If I could send you guys on cruises right now, I would. But the next best thing is being here, obviously,
of course.
And then the third next best thing is listening to my lead.
Okay.
All right. So my lead, as I said, as I teased, is born from something that a former football player said. And that former football player is a guy who, honestly, like, I'm kind of surprised that he isn't getting more run in sort of things like the Netflix broadcast and things like that, and that's Cam Newton. Cam Newton, who has he's one of the rare people who have a podcast, and he has a podcast named Fourth and One. And this is what Cam Newton said on his Fourth and One podcast.
Baseball is like a dying sport. I think baseball will be surpassed by WNBA in 20 years.
All right, that's me on the drum for the dramatic effect.
That was.
All right, so listen, I don't even know. I get that he's trying to do his thing and whatever, but I think there is an element of belief and an element of truth in when Cam Newton says this, but it speaks to sort of what we were talking about before, which is which sport is heading in the right direction. We talked about the NBA, about the ratings problem with the NBA, and And the WNBA took an enormous step forward in huge part because of Caitlin Clark. Let's not be blind to that. I mean, that was a huge, huge thing. Okay, for the first time in Cam Newton's life, he has said, WNBA, I watched the WNBA game. Good for you for Cam Newton. But it comes back to like the thing that, and Mego, I'm sorry, lacrosse, sport of the future, always will be, right? Thank you. Jackson, excellent job on the drum. But soccer, sport of the future, always will be. Let's not hate on baseball so much. The fact is that you just paid a guy $700 million. You don't pay a guy $700 million over, I take that back, $800 million. You don't pay a guy $800 million unless business is booming. That's just a fact. So, and I don't really know if you guys are going to push back on this at all.
So, I'll go to where you started from, which is why is Cam Newton not doing more broadcast jobs?
Because he said stupid stuff like
because
this.
Because he says this, which has been said over and over for the last 20 years. I mean, he thinks that this is like an original
Nobody said
thought.
This about the WNBA,
Nobody
though.
Said this about the WNBA. He's just putting a little twist on it at the end. But it's not like a unique thought. He's trying to throw some hot take out there that the WNBA is going to grow in so much popularity that it's going to overtake baseball. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. I think you'd probably need like three more Caitlin Clarks at least to get to that point. But the idea that, baseball is kind of dying... there's only one sport left as we talk about this that is kind of like the lowest common denominator, and I don't mean that in an offensive
don't
way.
Say that about
I mean where you can be very casual and just chime in on this guy or that guy and this team or that team, and that's NFL.
Okay.
That's what it is. Everything else is a side dish to the NFL, whether it's baseball, hockey, NBA. Like, there's no overtaking it. And the WNBA is not going to overtake it. So why can't we just accept that these are all side dishes to the main course that America wants?
Okay, let's frame
Don't
it.
Don't know about Canada. I'm sorry. They have the bills.
Let's frame it this way. Is that in 2000, you're right. I mean, as we sit here, we just got the ratings for the NFL on Christmas Day. You just aren't beating the NFL, even though the NFL is, those are terrible games. And you can say the product of the NFL this year hasn't been great. So let's frame it this way. In 2024, which sport or league took the biggest step forward? So I would make the argument, the strong argument, it certainly wasn't the NFL. Like, I would make the college football took a much bigger step forward than the NFL. I would say the WNBA took much bigger steps forward than the NFL. I would say baseball took bigger steps forward than in the NFL.
I feel a little excluded over here.
Hold on. I'm going to get the NBA. I would say the NBA stayed status quo. Like, I felt like, because all the things that we talk about, three-pointers, personalities, dynamic players, all of that, it's still there, but I don't feel like they took a step, because these leagues are desperately trying to take step forwards. Baseball is doing things that they never, ever thought they would have to do because they are so desperate to take step forwards. And you know what? It's actually worked out for them. And for hockey, I don't know. Like, you tell me, Razor. Like, do you feel in 2024 that hockey took a step forward, a step back, or stayed the same?
Hockey's in a good spot. Hockey's continually getting to a better spot because of the superstars, because of Connor McDavid, because of the best players are now, like I talked about earlier, marketable. You're able to put them out there. You're able to build brands, and the game's just better. There is a small section that loves the fighting and loves the WWE style to the old school game. It's you go to Florida, you go to Utah, you go to California, and the game's never been bigger.
Which is a huge deal, right? I mean, the fact that you got a team in Utah.
Yeah,
name's awesome.
Yeah, the name is going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome. Just take our word for it. But the fact that you got a team in Utah,
you're going to see two expansion teams in the South very soon, and two very big markets that are only going to grow the game. So you look at revenues and the fact that the NHL is a $6-7 billion industry. I mean, that's a step forward.
So. And I want people to weigh in on this, because I think that this isn't just baseball, this isn't just hockey, this isn't just basketball, this isn't just football, whatever. And it really is, if we look at, we have to see which sport is, or which league is taking this step forward. And football almost doesn't have to. Like, that's the thing. It's like football almost doesn't have to.
No, football's the Rockefellers who only have to get 1%
of
their interest.
Does that ever catch up to them? Does that ever catch up to them?
Nah, I don't think it, not with gambling. It's all about gambling.
Ooh,
it's
true,
all
yeah.
about gambling. Fantasy football is not going anywhere. As soon as a kid gets his new phone, they have 15 fantasy football leagues as an 11-year-old going. They're not going to consume it the same way, but it's all about the ability to gamble, and no sport has an ability to gamble like NFL,
and
that's
just,
why what it is what it is.
And it's the schedule.
Correct.
Football has the schedule that nobody else can have, where you know
once a week
it's on this almost always. I mean, they're definitely changing it when you look at the last week, this holiday week. But you almost always know the day that your team is playing or the day that the team that you care about that week is playing. And it's once a week, and it's for a manageable stretch of the season, of the year, rather. The season is this manageable stretch, and nobody else can replicate that. I really do think that on top of how great the game is and everything else around it, that's a big part of it. You look at hockey, you look at NBA, even people who generally are sports fans are looking at those sports and going, I don't really watch the playoffs.
Mego, hasn't this been the ultimate test this year in this area? You had Drake May aside. I mean, this say at the beginning of the year, where Drake May wasn't playing. You had the most uninteresting team, a bad team, virtually no storylines, and yet still that's all anyone talked about, right? That's still all anyone talked about.
Well, they're interesting in kind of like a morbid
They
way.
Were not interesting.
Who said what, and then what's going to happen now?
It wasn't even, they were sort of in between.
You know what? I think Patriots Monday is very interesting on WEEI, Bradfo.
That's super. Yeah. yes. So, but it's sort of like with the Bruins when, you know, when they hit that lull, like when Montgomery was fired, it was like, okay. But now, all right, like you need to fight. People, Bruins fans and Bruins followers need to fight to get that attention that NFL and Patriots fans just simply don't have to fight for. Right.
Yeah. And again, it comes down. Listen, no one's watching the Patriots for their defense tomorrow. But I bet there's somebody in a fantasy football league,
yes,
or somebody
right
that
on.
Put $100 on the Pats tomorrow because it might snow and Ladd McConkey might not be able to run wild or whatever it is. And you're going to get those eyeballs. It's going to rain tomorrow, I think.
I just need to know because we've been having these surprise snowstorms every week. And I feel
another reason you should go
guard.
On a cruise.
There you go.
If you want a cruise, you wouldn't have to worry about this.
What if you go on a
cruise? It would be like driving to Honduras or whatever you have to do, right? What?
You could go on Alaska cruise. There's snow there.
I want to be where Greg Hill is right now. And the only other place the only other place that replaces that is being right here with you guys. I appreciate you guys. All right, Jackson, I appreciate you. How are you doing? You're not gonna give a poem this trend, right?
No, I am not. But my poem is already
being constructed.
Yes.
Oh, I can't wait. Honestly can't wait for that. That'll be coming if people want to set their alarms about 9:15. So thank you for all your excellence, Jackson. Give us your best shot right now, but it has to be better than last time. Let's go.
I workshopped it.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending brought to you by Time Out Market. The Bruins take their 5-game point streak to Columbus tonight to face the Blue Jackets. The Celtics welcome the Pacers at 7:30 tonight at the Garden. A stinker of a Thursday night football game as the Seahawks beat the Bears 6-3. And the Patriots take on the Chargers at Gillette tomorrow at 1. And Bill O'Brien and his BC Eagles face off in the Pinstripe Bowl tomorrow
great
at
interview
noon.
Yesterday.
A great interview.
I mean, he revealed that his Christmas gift was a signed Larry Bird basketball.
Yeah, and a guy at that stature is still being excited about an autograph from an athlete is just awesome.
Oh, it was the best interview of all.
He's been. And you can hear that game right here on WEEI. And that is what's trending on WEEI. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway from live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between. Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
All right, welcome back to the Greg Hill Show. I'm Rob Bradford, along with Megan Ottolini, Andrew Raycroft, Razor, and Jackson behind the glass. Jackson, you got that drum from the Cam Newton podcast?
Sure, yeah, I can get that.
Keep every time something dramatic happens, I want to.
Good idea.
Thank you. much like you reading a poem in the 9 o'clock hour is an excellent.
I'm nervous about this.
Why are you nervous?
I don't know. I might need to go into the kitchen during like, that time. I don't want to be like a witness or accountable for anything that might happen.
I think you're still stung by his Jackson's lead about.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Things found in the human body.
Why are we bringing that up again? Why are we going back to that?
I don't know. Razor did a good job of pivoting right off of that until into hockey.
Sorry. Don't worry. The poem will be very wholesome.
All right. Okay. All right. Well... Mark from Medford has been hanging on for a while. I appreciate it. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call. So, Razor, I got two questions for you. The first one is the important one. What is the status of the Pastrnak injury? And the second question is the Four Nations tournament, that's a replacement for the NHL All-Star Weekend, correct?
That is correct. This season, yes, there will be no NHL All-Star game. It is four seasons only. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to go from a pretty decent 3-on-3, 99% non-contact tournament to a full-contact Olympic-style competition. And I'm a little leery about that. You've got the best team, the best players from their respective countries in the NHL. It could possibly get injured in this tournament. That means absolutely nothing.
Well, and I'll add another wrinkle to that, Mark, is that there's only four teams. So there's two or three countries that have quite a few NHLers that are not playing in it that get a break. Guys like David Pastrnak, of course, all the Russian guys. So there is... basically, what the NHL is trying to do is get international hockey back on the map. There's the Olympics are in 2 years. This was kind of
Maybe they could have did it in the same format as they've been doing it 3-on-3, only with countries.
Well,
instead of having a full contact tournament,
I think it's
kind of leery to me.
Yeah, they want international hockey. The players love playing for their countries. They love playing meaningful games for their countries. This is basically cut out of the hockey that was played prior to the season starting. They used to have this tournament in August and September. They did it in 2016. They had done it 2 years prior. And the World Cup of Hockey is what they used to call it. It's four nations. Right. They kind of piece this one together again, getting ready for the Olympics in 2 years, trying to put international hockey back on the map. This won't be what it usually is. They just, again, wanted to get it out there. It will be good when it comes. We forget how great international hockey is because you have the best players competing for their country.
I have no doubt.
But certainly, there's going to be some owners and some general managers that are holding their breath over the 8 days that they're playing. It is a really quick tournament, too. They're only playing three or four games each. So it shouldn't pile up too much. To your important question of David Pastrnak, we'll find out today. We'll find out this morning. No one has any idea. Everyone went away for 3 days. Absolutely no idea where anybody is. They've got to come in and skate this morning and then fly to Columbus or vice versa. Fly to Columbus and then skate when they get there. And we'll see where David's at then.
The only thing they did say was upper body, I believe.
That's what they said, but who knows what that means.
I love the upper body.
Yeah, upper body.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Excellent job. Excellent job use of the drum. Is that a drum? I don't even know.
Sounds closer to a gong.
Like a trash can?
Yeah, it's like a dramatic sting, I think.
It's a trash can.
All right,
careful,
whatever it is,
Bradshaw.
Keep it. Put it in the files.
Yeah, trash can.
All right. Well,
hitting trash cans
you get somebody in trouble.
It's very scary.
Yeah, well. Speaking of which, Alex Bregman today, I want to get this documented. Alex Bregman, who I'm a big proponent of the Red Sox signing. He today is a big day for Alex
Bregman. You're still doing that?
What?
They're still signing guys?
Oh, we don't know.
They need to figure that out.
it's you know, I don't know if you know
this. I thought Bregman was supposed to be the big priority now.
Who?
Yeah, Alex Bregman.
Yes. That's what we're waiting to hear.
So where?
But let me give you a little hint.
If I treated my priorities the way that the Red Sox did, let me tell you something. I would not be bringing in any paycheck.
Well, it's sort of like, you know, I'm going to give you something for Christmas and I give it to you in June, maybe. But here's a little hint, though. Here's a little hint. We found this. This is journalism at its finest. I found this. The first 2 days of the Santa Anita's Classic Meet horse racing is today.
Okay.
You know who whose horse is racing? That Baffert guy is whatever, managing the horse.
Doesn't he? He's got to have like a couple dozen horses.
But you know who is our part owners of one, the favorite of the race today?
Alex Bregman.
And Walker Buehler. Sharing a horse.
Ooh.
Alex Bregman and Walker Buehler share a horse. Yes.
What's the horse's name?
March of Time.
Oh, I thought it was the Red Sox are not
Red
signing
Sox. Him. Red Sox. We have our limits. That's the
coming up the stretch. The Red Sox aren't signing him.
We were interested. All right. Well, there you go. A little something for you. But I am interested when you talk about the international stuff and getting the international hockey on the radar of everybody, enforcing something much like the Olympics are forced sort of into a season. And I kept thinking about baseball. I kept thinking about the World Baseball Classic, about how there's no great time for any of this. There's no easy answers. But when it happens, it's awesome.
Correct.
It's awesome. Walter in Boston. Hey, Walter, how are you?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I was just getting back to what Cam Newton said. It's like, I'm 62-year-old black dude, and I'd rather watch the first 10 games of a hockey season over what happened on Christmas any day. It's like, I'd probably watch 10 minutes of that. In the Celtics game, it was like 33 pointers before halftime. It's like, there's no, these guys don't even use the athleticism. They just chuck it up. And the WNBA thing he said is like, Caitlin Clark was a perfect storm. It was a white girl who came into a league that was better than most. She was a top five player right away, and it came at the time that the Trump election was. So they thought she was going to hate on, you know, all the LGBTQs and all. And then now she's showing that she isn't. So her numbers will even drop a little, even though she's still going to get better.
No, I don't agree with that. I mean, I would get flat out. I don't agree. I think that he's. I think she's a unique player.
Wait, just if it was about best players, right? You have Juju Watkins, who only in 2 years is already 1,000 points ahead of Caitlin Clark in college. Who's probably going to break her college record? You think she's going to get the hoopla when she gets to the NBA? She's not.
No. I agree that so Caitlin Clark.
Like, we got to be honest. Caitlin Clark, all that hoopla is like that. She started as a top five player, which she's going to get better. I agree with that. My favorite player in the WNBA is Sabrina Ionescu because I'm a Kobe guy. I love Sabrina Ionescu. So what
like
I'm saying is, yeah, and she didn't get the population. Popular time, if she came in during, you know, this time of this craziness that we're going through in the world, she would have got that pub. It's like, as soon as they seen, if you go on, you see Megyn Kelly's show, as soon as they seen Caitlin Clark wasn't going with the hate, like, people are going against her now, and it's crazy. They shouldn't, because she's a beast.
Walter, I agree with a lot of what you said, and I do think that Caitlin Clark has distinguished herself because she was a white woman who came in and played. Hold on, Walter. Okay, I agree with you. A lot of these other really, really good players didn't get identified, didn't get distinguished, didn't get praised like Caitlin Clark did, when maybe they should have. Absolutely. It was sort of, but I'm not going to get into the hold on, Walter. I'm not going to say that it was a political thing. I think it was a purely sports thing. It was just the right, much like, and I'll say it, you go back to Larry Bird. Like, that was a very similar dynamic. It just was. So, Walter, I don't disagree with a lot of what you're saying, but
on that part of it, I agree with you. But you don't look online and see what people are saying now about her since she came out and said she doesn't hate black people.
Well, if you look online, people say a lot of horrible things.
Yeah. And Walter,
crazy stuff about her. It's like, and they say they're not going to watch it no more because of that. When she's great, you should be watching her because she's great.
Walter, thank you for the call. Maybe I'm naive, but I do look at the Larry Bird, because that's when, you know, I was growing up then, and the Larry Bird analogy, there's a lot of similarities there. Because of race, he was a unique sort of player and all of that. And it wasn't fair to a lot of other great players who were coming up at the same time. You're right. I mean, we compared Magic Johnson or Michael Jordan, but even beyond that, I rattle off Bernard King and these other really, really good players that maybe should have been identified along the lines of what Larry Bird was. But that's what I view, and I don't know, maybe you guys disagree, but that's how I view the Caitlin Clark
situation. Well, I think that, and people won't like to hear this, but I do think that there's a parallel between Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and that it seems like there's a real rivalry here, and there's mutual respect, but it's like, if you're aligned with one side, that you freaking hate the other side. You know, if you're an Angel Reese fan, you're probably not a Caitlin Clark fan. If you're a Caitlin Clark fan, you're probably not an Angel Reese fan. But when I hear people talk about the three-point shot and the attempts in the NBA and how disgusted they are by it and how annoyed they are that guys swap jerseys after games and that it's AAU all the way through and everybody's friends, I say there's somebody on the Celtics who is the exact opposite of all of that, and it's Jaylen Brown. So if you want the league to go that way, that is Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is the guy who takes it in the paint. He's the guy who goes to the rim continuously. He doesn't shoot a ton of threes. He calls Giannis a child after the games on national television. Like, he is, he should, if you want to exalt somebody in the NBA who's doing all the stuff from the 90s that you like, go to Jaylen Brown.
I'll go back. I'll go back a little further. When Kyrie Irving did his thing about with Boston, Jaylen Brown came out and said, "Hey, listen, this isn't the time or place for him to do that. He's trying to use this moment."
He was the only one who stood up to Draymond Green in the finals in 2022.
I'm totally with you.
What about this though? What about, because when I hear all this, the thing I think about with the women's basketball and Caitlin Clark and Reese is they had 3 years to develop all this in college basketball.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea where Jaylen Brown went
but
to
that's
college.
Why I
have no idea. Like, March Madness used to be something you watched because all of the NBA, Carmelo Anthony was going to be amazing in the NBA, but I got to watch him at Syracuse for the year and a half in the Big East tournament and Madison's. It's college. Like, And the same with football. You can name every single football player where they went to college instantly. I'm sure most people that follow know players because of where they played in college, and everyone watched them on Saturday. Now you watch them on Sunday. Hockey doesn't have college players. NBA now doesn't have as many college players because they're foreign players, the European, Giannis. You don't get... ESPN doesn't get to build the story around these people before they become pros. And that's the beauty of
baseball. Baseball's the same way. I mean, obviously, this is the challenge they've always had. They're desperately trying to make the draft like the NFL draft, and it's like a sad trombone. Because, to your point, a lot of them are high school kids, and also, they aren't going to make an immediate impact. Caitlin Clark and these people are going to make immediate impacts right away. And I will say this, it's we talk about, for the average sports fan, a lot of times it's just as simple as what's easy to watch, what's interesting to watch.
I think it's more than that. I think it's who do I know?
I think
that goes back to Razor's point about the college game. When Bird and Magic, look, I wasn't there, but correct me if I'm wrong. When Bird and Magic came out, it was very similar. They had played each other in college. Yes.
By the way, the national championship game.
And the NBA wasn't as big as NCAA basketball at that time. So you had these stars emerging, and it was like, I'm going to watch these guys because I know their whole backstory and I know how they feel about each other. And that's what I think for a lot of people, yes. When we each have our favorite sports and we love the components and the intricacies and everything behind those games. But for a casual sports fan, when people talk about 90s basketball and they say, I miss that era, it's because they knew who Charles Barkley was and the funny quotes that he said after games. They knew Michael Jordan was the greatest player in the world and he's spreading the game. They know who these people are. I think a lot of people, going back to Razor's point, when they turn on different games, they go, I don't even know. These guys are wearing like goofy neon jerseys in Miami. I don't even know what this is.
Let me add something to that, because I totally agree with what both of you are saying. You have to have the build up. You have to have like the buzz. You have to have the branding of it leading in. But then when you get there and you actually watch him, there has to be a product which the average sports fan can say, wow. That is something like I haven't seen. Caitlin Clark was that way. When I tune in to see Iowa play, where I tune in to see her play ultimately in WNBA when she got going, like, wow, that's something. And I got to be honest with you, I watched Angel Reese play, and I'm not like, wow. What I saw was a girl who missed a lot of layups and got a lot of rebounds and put back the layups. And so, Steph Curry is that way for me too. Not as much as he used to be, but Steph Curry was a guy, and I would imagine there's a hockey player like this, there's a basketball, lacrosse player. Steph Curry was a guy, when you watched him play, you wanted to run out to the playground and play that game. And I feel like that, for me, that was Larry Bird. For a lot of people, that's Caitlin Clark. For a lot of people, that's Steph Curry. I don't know who, in hockey, was probably, I don't know what goalie, like you watched, you said, I want to be that guy. Like, oh my, you know, Patrick Roy. I don't know. But it was you. When you get there, you're introduced to him, and then boom, I want to be that guy. He makes me want to play. I think that's what Caitlin Clark has done. So
No question. And yeah, each sport has a different way of following, and you have to be into that sport to know where to follow the baseball guys when they're coming up. But the mainstream, it was very easy to put Caitlin Clark on CNN every night, where sports people aren't watching. It was very easy to put her in those places, and that's what made her so big, and that's what made Steph Curry. He goes on MSNBC, and like, what? Why? But it's because of their popularity outside of the sport and their ability to tell a story about them.
All right, we're gonna do news at the top of the hour, I think, because we're gonna get through these calls. A lot of people want to weigh in on a lot of stuff that we're talking about. Mego's gonna be doing news. Mego's not gonna make news. You almost made news.
When?
When you get in a car accident or something, driving to.
Oh no, I was the only one who was driving responsibly. I think we need to get to that in the 8 o'clock hour. Some of us take driving in the snow extremely seriously, and they get flipped off because of it.
All right. I mean, driving.
Thanks, New York.
In Canada, it's like, are you offended when they shut down things? When there's,
yes.
Like people in Washington, D.C. or Maryland, they shut down entire areas because there's a dusting of snow?
Yeah.
Do you immediately get on the phone with Mego and say, like, what are you doing?
We're not built for this.
What are you doing? Come on.
We'll get to this.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
This
all right, like we said, a big tease. The news at the top of the hour, but we're going to take all these calls, but first we're going to take a break. This is the Greg Hill Show. I'm Rob Bradford, Andrew Raycroft, Mega Nottolini, and Jackson behind the glass. All right, welcome back to the Greg Hill Show. I'm Rob Bradford. Razor's here. Mego's here. Jackson's here. Going to be doing news at the top of the hour. Things are cruising on along, and we've stumbled into some spirited conversation. Not that we didn't have spirited conversation in the 6 o'clock.
Gotta wake up a little bit, you know.
No, I mean, I was awake. I think you guys are awake. It's just like you mentioned some of the topics that we're mentioning now. It's like stealing, you know. It's just
like Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of which, let's go to Ted in situation. Hey, Ted, how are you? Hey, Ted.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Yep. I just wanted to make one point, and the point was that Tiger Woods was a black man in a white man's sport, and the purses went up exponentially after he came on the scene. I think the same may happen to women's basketball. It's all about asses and eyeballs. How many people in the seat? How many people watching on TV? So you know, the haters should put things away and think that yes. The black players have not gotten enough attention in women's basketball because nobody's been watching it. And I think that after the ascent of her coming into the league, it's going to be very similar dynamic to what happened to Tiger Woods.
All right, Ted, thanks for the call. I got to be honest, I can't argue with it. Can we argue with this, the Tiger Woods analogy?
I don't know if it's like a perfect analogy. I'm honestly, I got to say, out of every sport, I'm not a golf person, and I've never been a golf
Tiger,
person.
But Tiger brought it comes back to what I said before, Mega, which
I
is
think that's more about celebrity, though. Like, no, I feel like we're talking
it made
about
people,
some
made,
of the same
made people
stuff.
Want to play the sport. It drew people into the sport that a lot of people that normally weren't drawn into the sport.
Well,
and I also want to put asses and eyeballs on the
T-shirt. Whenever you have a prodigy who's coming in, that's going
to
be somebody who everybody pays attention to.
But there had been prodigies also in golf. There had been prodigies that didn't have nearly the impact that Tiger Woods did, or get nearly the attention that Tiger Woods did. And I think that this is much like we're talking about Caitlin Clark. There is players just as good as Caitlin Clark, young players coming up, including playing in college basketball right now, that are playing. But we're not tuning in to. I mean, I'm not. I would tune into Iowa games. Mm-hmm. And I didn't do that before, perfectly honest with you. And, you know, I think that we talked earlier about what leagues in 2024 took big steps forward. The WNBA might be, in terms of the leaps and bounds, might be at the top of the list.
Oh, for sure.
You know what's not far behind? It's college football. College football, because now you're getting players paid, it's becoming a professional sport, basically. Players are going to stay longer. The product is really, 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 really good, despite this this weird playoff system, which they're going to have. Bill O'Brien was on yesterday, said they're going to have to reseed this. They have to adjust it. But I think that if you want to power rank the leagues that took the biggest step forward in 2024, with the understanding the NFL is still at the top of the heap, I'm going to say the WNBA, college football. I don't know, man.
Well, I think
maybe baseball.
The college football thing to me, like, it's such a regional bias. I'm not going to sit here and say that people in New England don't care about college football, but it's different in other regions of the country. For a lot of parts of the country, college football is above the NFL. You go down to the Carolinas, college football is way bigger than the NFL. And so I feel like with the gambling, with the NIL, with the expanded playoff, yes, that makes it a little bit more universally appealing to maybe somebody who doesn't have a tie or a family tie or a regional tie to a team. But I don't think it's something where like college football has such a platform jump that the WNBA does.
No, I think the WNBA, if we're going to look at the platform jump, absolutely. I mean, as I said, asses and eyeballs. I'm going to keep saying it just because it's fun to say.
I didn't know where that was starting, though, when you said the first part with the WNBA. Yeah, I was like, oh,
man. We can say it about a lot of
things.
We're
getting edgy before 8 a.m.
I want you to say, just say it on unobstructed views one time, all right?
Yeah, I'll get it. I'll
tug your ear and know that you're thinking of me. Here's a cliche question. Did you watch Canadian football, professional football?
I mean, yeah, of course. It was on, but it wasn't something that we took too seriously. Yeah. I mean, Doug Flutie was great, and that was the heyday of it when he was kicking. But no, it was never... We never thought of it as, even as Canadians, we always, like, it didn't make sense to have three downs and a big football and a big field. Like, it wasn't the same as the NFL. We always liked the
Canadians
NFL
Canadians have the best common sense of anybody.
Wow, that's highly debatable
they
at this point.
They drink milk out of a bag.
I would have said 10 years ago, yes, but we've lost our way a little bit in our common sense, but that's a whole nother show.
Let me ask you this from a hockey player's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And Mego, I think that you would agree with me. We, as the media, we always say, who are the nicest guys? Who are the best guys to deal with? And hockey players always universally were viewed that way.
Hockey players and offensive linemen.
Offensive linemen. And so, but stick with the hockey players. I would think that, and we always, as media, we're saying, well, why is that the case? And we have all different theories. One, like, oh, well, they're just, you know, kids from farm towns or whatever it is. Like, why? Why are you guys so nice?
Well, because a lot of it is that. A lot of it is just the fact that it's we're all pretty simple people. But the other part of it is, and offensive linemen are the same way, is that you're not allowed to be a diva in our sport. You don't make it to the very top. You don't become the best offensive lineman by doing your own thing. And it's the same as hockey people, and that idea of team mentality and doing the right thing, not for every, you wouldn't treat someone poorly in a locker room because you understand that, and you've been told this for a really long time, that you're doing everything for the jersey on your chest. And it's not about your name. It's about the jersey on your chest. And you have to, you know, kids are taught it. You know, we tell our kids that are 11 years old, you're representing your jersey this weekend. Don't be an idiot at the hockey tournament. Don't get in trouble in the hotel because you're representing your family and your jersey. That's very culturally ingrained in you at a young age. So I think that's why, among other cultural things of where you grew up and being in small town Canada, you say hi to everybody and there's a lot of that involved, but a lot of it again is just doing the right thing for the whole team. It's not about you. It's never about you.
We say that in every sport we play. We say, hey, star. Hey, star. Hey, guy.
Man.
Don't feel and a lot. But I would imagine hockey, you get. If there is that element, they get smacked down quicker.
Correct. You could say it in other sports, but it doesn't. LeBron James does not get spoken to if he treats someone poorly. But somebody, you know, that there would be guys in the NHL that would. So it you can say all you want, but it's different.
All right, let's go to Maria in Watertown. Hey, Maria, how are you?
Hello, everyone. I hope everyone had a very merry holiday. Razor, this question is for you. I wanted to get your thoughts on the fact that there will be no Russian players participating in the Four Nations tournament. I could care less about any of the politics. My question is solely on the pure quality of hockey and not having these players, who are some of which are very elite players in the league, and also our very own David Pastrnak and members of his country not being able to participate in the tournament. To me, it's a bit short-sighted on the part of the NHL, where you have this opportunity to showcase your league, yet some of the best players are not going to be able to participate for whatever reason. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Thanks, Maria.
Yeah, happy holidays, Maria. Well, there's a one, whether or not you or I care about the politics, there's enough people that do, and that's why Russia's not involved. That's very obvious. And it feels like we're kind of coming out of that. The best Russian hockey player, like, that's, we have Miracle and a million movies, yes, and stories made because of how great the Russians are at playing hockey. They're very good, and they would have an amazing team if they were in this, but politics a couple of years ago held that back. I think we'll be okay in the Olympics, but it's happening in the World Junior Tournament right now. The greatest World Junior Tournament games are Russia versus Canada, Russia versus the U.S., U.S. versus Canada. They're the powerhouses. You need those teams involved. Hopefully we get past that, but it is politically motivated. When you talk about the other teams, yes, Czechia is not playing. Slovakia would have a great team. Germany would have a great team. This tournament itself, they had to run it within 8 days. They didn't have 2 weeks to do it. You can't have a tournament in 8 days if you have eight teams. There's not enough time to play all the games. So they basically decide, okay, we need to pick four teams. The four teams were easy to pick, especially with Russia not in the mix or allowed to be in the mix. So this is the way we'll do it. Going forward, I would highly envision eight teams. Eight teams is the right one. That's where you kind of get almost all of the NHLers involved. The Olympics will look like that, and I think the World Cup of Hockey or the Four Nations will look like that going forward. This is more of a trial run, last minute. We have 8 days. Let's play four games.
All right. There's a great doc, by the way, 30 for 30 doc, Miracles of Men, talking about the Russian hockey program leading into the the Miracle on Ice, and it's excellent. So just made me think of that. So there, I love to publicize a good doc that's not Aaron Rodgers taking ayahuasca. All right. Well, we got news coming up. This is the Greg Hill Show. I'm Brad Foe. That's Razor. That's Mego. That's Jackson. Be back after this.